to know him in the power of his resurrection. I get that. Makes sense. I want to know him in the powers of his resurrection as well. I want to see the mighty power of God at work and display in the life. I want to see lives raised up and people raised up. Wait a second. Let's just stop there. He says, no, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Matter of fact, I want to take it further. I want to be made conformable unto his death. Wait a second. It seems like you're progress right back into punitive. It's almost as if you've progressed in your walking relationship with God, but now there's punitive reasoning in relation to your service to God. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to be made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. See, here's the thing, and here's what I hope to convey in the lesson here tonight, is that as we grow in our walk and relationship with God, and as we progress, we're going to meet more opportunities for punitive reasoning. Punitive that's not any, it doesn't really have to do anything more with our eternal destiny. I can honestly, listen, and I'm not being arrogant spiritually, but I can honestly say, I no longer lay awake at night worried whether or not I'm going to make heaven my home. I just don't. But I tell you what I do sometimes is I do go to bed at night worrying whether or not I'm doing all that I could be doing for God, and I'm suffering as I should be suffering, and I'm really progressing in the way that he would have me progress. Because let's face it, we as North Americans, we live very blessed, pleasure-filled life. And I think it's, put it out there, for many of us, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate because we're not growing as we should in God, because we don't trust him. And one of the reasons why we don't trust him as we should, because we're not forced to trust him. Because we're not suffering so that we need to trust him. I don't have to trust him for the next meal because my cupboards are full. Listen, please understand, I'm not being blasphemous in what I'm saying. What I'm saying is our mentality has changed and we no longer see the suffering that they saw as beneficials in their life. The disciples said, we can't believe that we're counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And yet we're sometimes afraid to bow our head in a public place and pray over our meal. Please understand where I'm coming from. But it should be the case where we approach, as we progress in our walk and relationship with God, we approach more of that punitive reasoning, but then it progresses into more promissory reasoning. Where yes, it's awkward, but yes, I don't know if I can do that, but as I launch out and as I suffer with him, I realize that those promises are being fulfilled. As I'm in those situations that are awkward and I don't know what to say, but then all of a sudden I find the words to say and I realize that his promises are true. Take no thought what you're going to say. When they call you up and they begin to ridicule you and ask you, take no thought. And then I realize in that situation, when I do open my mouth and I begin to, wait, it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, but all of a sudden I do have the words to say. And those promises of God are being fulfilled. Look at the progression in Paul's life. Power of resurrection, fellowship of suffering, conformable unto death, attain unto resurrection. Here's how it works. Call it the cycle of sanctification. There's progression in reasoning. Progressing from punitive to promissory. That progression in reasoning gives me faith from promises fulfilled. As I launch out and do those things, and I rely on God, and I trust in God, he comes through every single time. And as a result of that, as my faith is built from those experiences and those times when I step out and those times when I do suffer and those times where I find that He's there and He helps me through the situation and He gives me strength in the midst of it, it builds my faith and then produces more fruit. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Remember last week I talked about, I believe that God, the two relationships that God uses predominantly in the Bible to help us understand His relationship with us is predominantly the marriage relationship and the father and child relationship. These two relationships are replete in Scripture, giving us, providing us understanding in the way in which God works and He deals with us, right? And I asked this question last week, and I said, when it comes to us as children, even in the natural, do we, in our infancy and in our adolescence, do we understand more of the punitive reasoning or the promissory reasoning? And all of us pretty much agreed that it's the punitive reasoning. We understand, we do that, we're going to be in trouble. We tell a lie, we're going to be in trouble. It's not based upon promissory. It's not based upon there's a benefit of being honest and having integrity, right? It's not, as a child, that's, our reasoning is punitive. Our reasoning I don't do that because that's going to make mommy and daddy mad, and then I'm going to get punishment, right? That's how we start as children. Look at what the writer of Hebrews says. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection under the Father of spirits and live? We were subjected to our fathers. Now, granted, most of it had to do with punitive reasoning. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Whoa. Now we're talking about sanctification. Now we're talking about separation. Our fathers did it the natural. Chastened us after their own pleasure, he says. Now, here's the thing. Even in relation to my own children, I would like to think that every time I disciplined my children, I did so without any motive where it concerned me. But I'd be wrong. I don't think any parent can honestly answer that every time they've ever disciplined their child, there was no, absolutely no motive for them. He said, listen, fathers chasing their children after their own pleasure, but He for our profit. We see it as punitive. We see it as restrictive. We see it as doing these things and abiding by these principles and all those thou shalt nots and these things you shouldn't do and those things that the Bible says to steer away from and don't become a party to. And we see them as, man, I don't want to do those things, not because I really see the benefit in it, not because I really do it with promissory reasoning. I do it really from a punitive reasoning standpoint because I don't want to be punished. Chastens us. As we walk, listen, if you are not getting your toes stepped on a regular basis, let me just put it out there, then I am either above reproach and I am so far spiritual than anybody else, which I highly doubt, or I'm not truly interested in progressing. Because if I'm truly interested in progressing, and here's the thing, I get it. I'm speaking to a handful of people. The irony of that does not escape me, okay? I get that. But there are scores of congregations and churches, and I'm not speaking ill of them, but please understand what I'm saying, is that many of those people will do very little in progressing in their walk and relationship with God. And some of it has to do with the reality of that they will not have pastors or teachers that will propel them or compel them to do so. Because they're afraid they're going to offend them, or they're afraid they're going to step on their toes, or they're afraid they're going to say something that they don't agree with, and they're no longer going to come. he says. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I don't like that. That's why we don't amen a lot when the pastor steps on our toes. Teaching comes forward. Or we read a word in our daily devotion that really kind of, yeah, not doing so well. Now. We're chasing the Lord. We realize that, man, that's, I'm just not making the mark in that situation. I'm not really excelling in that area of my life. And man, that hurts. Now chastening for the present seemed to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So are you telling me that I'm exercised, that I'm growing, that I'm becoming stronger and more powerful in my walk and relationship with God by enduring the chastening of the Lord? Yes, I most certainly am. I am exercised. In other words, I grow and I am strengthened by those times when I'm hit upside the face and it's punitive at first and I see it and, oh man, I'm chastened by it. And, oh man, he got on that subject again and, oh man. Then, as I yield to it, and then as I see it, that it's not punitive, it's promissory. It's not to hurt me, it's to help me. It's not to put me down, it's to lift me up. It's not to make me worse, it's to make me better. It's to help me grow in my walk and relationship with God. Is it joyous at the time? No. It's punitive. I mean, it's a pretty honest question. I did things as a teenager that I didn't agree with, I didn't want to do. Did them. And now, at the time, I didn't see the relevance. Time, I, you know, bunked the system. I didn't want to do that. But now, looking back over my life, I see where enduring that and going through that developed things in me. I read a meme not too long ago. You've probably seen it floating around Facebook. It says, my parents spanked me as a child. As a result, I suffer from respecting other people. I know it's music, but the reality of that is, that's why the Bible talks about that father-son relationship and the chastening of the Lord. And that's why we're encouraged to discipline our children. I know at the time they only see it as punitive. They only see it as punishment. They only see it as inflicting harm or hurt upon them. But what they come to realize later on in life, I'm thankful for the correction I received from my father and mother. Now, as I've grown up and I've matured, I look back on that. And I don't begrudge those whippings. I'm sorry, I don't. I needed more than what I got. Progression and process. Progression in our walk and relationship with God comes only through the process. It's that punitive, promissory progress. And then it becomes punitive again, and then I find ways that my reasoning changes. At first I see it as chastisement, at first I see it as punishment, but then it changes and now I see it as the promises of God at work in my life. And now I see progression, and now I see fruit, and now I'm bearing more fruit of righteousness as it happens in my life. And here's what the Apostle Paul says after he talks about you may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, that by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Go down just two more verses. And this is what he says. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I haven't made it yet, but I'm progressing. I'm staying in that cycle. I'm realizing that there is. I know Him in power of His resurrection, but then I'm also knowing Him in the fellowship of His suffering, and I'm being made conformable unto His death. But what it's instilling in me is there's a promise and there's a hope of resurrection again. Think about it. He's come full circle that I may know Him in the power of His what? Resurrection. And the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death, that by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. See what he's saying? It's that cycle. It just perpetuates. If I am not finding ways to take the chastening of the Lord and the preaching and the teaching and apply it to my life, and even though it hurts, and even though initially it seems like punishment, it seems like obligation, and it seems like submission, and it seems like all those dirty words that I don't want to have anything to do with and my flesh rebels against, but if I understand the process, let me be straight up with you. You and I will not progress in our walk in relationship with God without the process. We won't. Closing, you can stand to your feet. I haven't apprehended it yet. I haven't attained it. But I'm pressing toward the mark. And that pressing, that process of taking that punitive and then changing it to promise and allowing that to progress into promissory reasoning. And then I see the fruit as a result. And then it's back to more punitive reasoning. I don't understand it all. And I'm struggling to be submissive in this way. But as I am, I'm seeing that the promises of God are being performed in my life. And as a result, that reasoning is changing and I'm finding faith, and that faith is producing more fruit. And then another situation comes where I see it and I don't understand it, and I'm chastened of the Lord. And a pastor preached on this, and I read about it in the Word of God, and it keeps happening. And the more I allow myself to be involved in that process, the more I will progress in my walk and relationship with God. So much so, catch this, that the Apostle Paul, eons from where I feel like I am in my walk and relationship with God, the Apostle Paul started seeing every punitive thing as promissory. All the sufferings, all the ridicule, all the negative, he started seeing as positive. And by any means, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Because there's an ultimate promise. Here's the thing. Yes, I love a resurrected life that I live on this earth. I love being a new creature in Christ. I love being able to overcome temptation. I love being able to grow in my walk in relationship with God. But there is a promise that I'm looking forward to one of these days. Promise of utter and complete resurrection. For so shall I ever be with the Lord. And the process that I endure down here, and that journey that I go through, and that cycle of sanctification that happens again and again and again and again in my life, is preparing me for the ultimate promise of being with Him forever. Lord Jesus, we love You. God, we're thankful for Your Word. God, every single one of us here have our own individual stories. And Lord, I think if we all looked into our own lives, we would see this process play out in many different ways. But so important, God, for us to recognize the essentiality of its playing out in our walk and relationship with You. I need to be challenged, God. I need to be chastened, Lord. I need, God, to understand the benefit of being submitted, God, to see the promises that You have given fulfilled in my life, giving me the faith, God, to once again approach the suffering, the chastisement, realizing that Your will is being worked out in my life and You're making me who You would have me to be. We love You, we praise You, we thank You, we honor You. all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.